Welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. I'm Horry alongside. Take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Venotti. He'll be with you till 5. Then he's off to the great rivalry in Clovis tonight at La Monica. It will be Clovis and Clovis West. Also, Dodgers and the Jays, 4 o'clock on 790. And we will talk more about that a little bit later on. If there is a Game 7, it will be on 1430 tomorrow. Brian Panis with us in just a second to talk about Fresno State and Boise State. Reminds you, 12:30 tomorrow, FS1 for that game. And I want to thank sponsors, including Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for allowing me the time to bring Brian up right away, and then I'll get to all the acknowledgments and readers a little bit later on. A lot of emails have come in, guys. I don't know what I can get to later in the show, but I will. Real quickly, Vito, you asked what I'm going as on Halloween. It's a real stretch for me this year. I'm going as a decrepit 68-year-old man with a bad back. So it's a stretch, but that's what I'm going to try, and I'm going to celebrate that flat on my back, calling play-by-play tonight. That is how it's going to work when I'm supposed to be seated. So stop on by and pick up some candy. It'll be in the front. Just don't come to the door. That's all I'm telling you, Vito, which is what I tell everybody, including my relatives. Whatever you want, it's on the driveway. Just don't come to the door. That's how you get along with relatives, by the way. All right, that having been said, let's bring Brian Panis up right now, our great friend and the best lawyer on the planet, to tell us how Fresno State will win tomorrow in Boise, resurrect their season, play San Diego State in a few weeks, and win the conference title. Brian, how you doing?
Well, I haven't brought any miracles with me today, Tony.
Well, okay, so you're not going as Gandhi.
I'm going to just get it out of the way right now. The Dodgers are looking terrible. I'm going to preempt you on that. I'd be shocked if they won the series the way they're playing. The bats have gone silent. Snell has been lit up. And not a good performance by the Dodgers.
Oh, you are sad bagging me big time.
Now, tonight we got a big game, though, Tony. We got a really big game tonight.
That would be St. John Bosco, right?
It's Modern Day.
That's
it's
right.
Sold out so, in weeks.
So if you're down in L.A., when you're walking around going, big game tonight, you're going, yeah, you know, can we get to Gosman? And you're going, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Bosco and Modern Day.
Oh, so the Dodge, you know, Tony, I had to... pleasure being there watching Coach Tedford's getting in the Wall of Fame,
right.
and it was a lot of great Dogs were there. Turned out for Coach Tedford, great turnout. Great to see all the former players, including some of my teammates, Henry Eller, Vince Petrucci, have their numbers up there. And it was a great event for Coach Tedford. I think he enjoyed it. But ironically, Tony, on Jeff Tedford Day, the Bulldogs, for the first time in history, were shut out in Bulldog Stadium.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly a win-win for the Gipper right there. That was tough.
I mean, but Mr. Offense was shut out. We were shut out.
Well, and look, and that brings us to the point, all kidding aside, and I've talked about it during the week. Ruben had sent an email at the start of the week, and I had kind of dismissed it as maybe being semi-facetious. It in his mind is not, and that is that he believes sincerely, since the defense kept Fresno State in that game against San Diego State, you and I had talked last Friday, and I had said, do you like the Bulldogs' chances in the fourth quarter? He said, if they're within a score, yes. Okay, they were two possessions back, but they were 16 points, but two possessions, obviously, if you get the six and then the two-point conversions. The defense kept them in the game, but the offense could not generate points. Now, fast forward to what's happening scheduling-wise, and if people haven't been with us during the week, in a couple of weeks, Boise State has to go to San Diego State. I am going to say right now San Diego State is likely to win that game. If they do, if the Bulldogs were to beat Boise State, Fresno State would then own the tiebreak if the Aztecs beat the Broncos, provided the Bulldogs won their last three games, which are winnable games. And as long as UNLV is knocked off once, Fresno State could find its way at Snapdragon playing for the conference title. Now, that is a huge ask, But for it to happen in any theoretical world or real world, Brian, they have to win tomorrow. If the defense keeps them in the game, can this offense score enough to beat a Boise State team that you know is going to put points up? How much is it going to take for Fresno State offensively, points-wise, to win this game tomorrow, even if the defense plays well?
Well, first of all, they're plus 700 to win.
They're 17.5-point underdogs for a reason, Brian. We know that.
But, you know, Boise is not what they've been. But they're going to score some points. I watched some of the UNLV game, and they're moving the field, all of them on the field. But our offense, you know, we were not able to run. Those great running backs are getting frustrated. We were not able to really throw. Conklin was, you know, anticipated that he would be able to move more around in the pocket, scramble more. Didn't really see that from him. I saw multiple times I thought he could have taken off and run and made some big plays. He didn't. I think that, you know, the two picks, and he seemed tentative. Now he hasn't played in a game in over a year. The speed of the game is different than it was from the level that he played at last year. I believe San Diego State is the best team in the conference, and Coach Entz made a comment to me after the game. Well, you know, hey, if that's the best in the league, we held them to 16 points because, you know, seven was on the pick six. Well, that's a pretty good outing by the defense. I mean, they played, they gave up yards, but they kept playing hard. They made plays. They had a couple plays. But the turnovers, again, were not helpful. And I'm looking for a big improvement for Conklin in this game. I mean, he looked good last year. I saw him play in high school. He was good. He just did not have a good game, as did no one really on the offense last week.
Well, to those points, one, and I brought it up earlier in the week, he comes out there, and look, I'm going to compare this to what's been going on with Kuminga and the Warriors, and that is Kuminga, until this year, has been trying to fight his own tendencies to play within a system that wasn't suited for him. Now he's getting better about it, but it's taken him a while to do it. But in that regard, Conklin looked to me like a guy who was not only understandably nervous because this was the biggest stage he's been on, but he's trying to taper his game to fit the structure, and it does make him tentative. But then you go out there, Brian, and your first two possessions, you put it right between the numbers, and your wideouts drop the damn ball. And now all of a sudden, you're out there for your third run at it, and you've been 0-for-2 in drives only because guys who should be able to catch the football don't. How much does that mess with your psyche at that point when you're already nervous to begin with, and you're trying to structure your game to fit within the confines of an offense that's not necessarily suited for you? How much did those drops hurt everything that happened with him the rest of the way?
Well, I mean, I think it hurt his confidence, who he was throwing to. You saw him wait, looking for other receivers. And just some of the throws, I don't know if he threw them because he didn't want to throw an interception, but they just weren't accurate throws.
Well, you know he wants – we saw high reward, high risk with Sac State here. Now, admittedly, he was in a position where they were behind, and he's winging it everywhere. But you know that's what he wants to do. So can he ever truly fit in a Matt Entz-style offense? Or is this – there was no reason to keep Warner in for the rest of the year because he's going to be gone at the end of the year. And Mandel is evidently not physically ready, and the rest of the guys are really still in high school right now that might be the saviors quarterbacking-wise. So was it not Mr. Right, but Mr. Right Now for Conklin, or does he have a chance legitimately to be the guy going forward beyond this year?
Well, I think that they're hoping that he can be. Obviously, there's got some freshmen coming in, but, you know, it'd be unusual for them to be starting right away. That's very rare.
That's correct.
Even the Derek Carrs in the world weren't doing that, or David Carr. But I think Conklin can play better. I think he will play better. I think he's going to look to run the ball a little bit more. You know, I think Boise's defense is not as good as San Diego. San Diego State, they didn't really have to blitz. They could play the base zone, the base coverage, and the base up front, and they had some really good corners. And it was very difficult for the receivers to get open. They got open a few times, and he couldn't make the throws.
Well, that defense for San Diego State, as you're referencing, Brian, is legit. I mean, they have NFL-talented guys in a couple of positions on that defense. And, again, we can go back to NIL money or whatever we want to do. But the bottom line is, from 3-9 last year to this year, they restocked the shelves real well in San Diego. Boise does not have – go ahead.
I think it's the second year in the program for the coach. And you see the big difference. You know, what were they, 3-8
last year?
3-9,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you saw they struggled. They have, you know, $2 million NIL money, more than Fresno State. Obviously, San Diego State is a desirable school for many players because of the atmosphere and the weather and the girls. The academics. And so they were able to retool their roster. I look to Coach Enns if he gets more NIL money to do the same thing. He's learning his first year in the program, how the program works. He's getting the ins and outs of the program. He's putting his own touches on it. And I do believe that he's going to stick with his run-first philosophy, try to get a running quarterback in there. Although, that kid I heard from Clovis is not really a runner. He's a thrower, so we'll see.
Well, that's why he can really throw it,
that's a good guy.
Well, we were talking last week about Don Shula, and you and I grew up with the run happy Dolphins. Yet 10 years later, when he didn't have
the receivers, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, you had the Marx brothers. When you had Bob Greasy and you had Kick Zonka and Mercury Morris, and you had one great wideout in Paul Warfield, with you and I knew as a Cleveland Brown, but
they had a tight
those
end
guys,
pretty good.
And you had a terrific defense, and that's I mentioned their undefeated team. They won every game by 5 or 7 points, but they did win. 10 years later, you've got Marino thrown to the Duper and Clayton, and they're lighting up the scoreboard, and their defense isn't stopping anybody. And it was the same Don Shula. It's like I mentioned that Bum Phillips made that comment. He can take Yorin and beat Hizen, or take Hizen and beat Yorin, meaning he was going
to
adapt.
Matt
Hint has a philosophy, Brian. But I don't know, to what you're saying, I don't know that it is an etched-in-stone philosophy that he would never change, or if it is, this is how he won at the FCS level, and he's going to try it here. But maybe Rose is a guy that will open up an offense, but it's not going to be this year because he's going to be playing in our air tonight, okay? But he's still in high school.
Well,
so, what do you do?
I think he might open it up a little more this week. That's what I'm looking for. Obviously, the run game has not been great, okay? So maybe set up the run with the pass. But I look for him, Tone, to open it up a little bit more this week.
Well, what does it take for this offense to, I'm going to go back to the point. If the defense plays, and we knew the defense was going to step up after that disaster at Fort Collins, and they did. They played very well against a pretty good San Diego State offense. It's not dynamic, but it was effective. They were in the game. The offense just couldn't score for Fresno State. What is it going to take from the Bulldogs defensively? Let's try it this way. If they hold Boise State to 16 offensive points and you eliminate special teams or defensive errors that cause other problems, can the Bulldogs put up 16 to win a football game? Is that reasonable the way things are going right now? Because let's be honest about it, Brian. Since halftime against Nevada, this offense has been MIA, period. That's all there is to it.
Nevada, that second half was really bad, and it carried on over to Colorado State. And in San Diego State, the offense, even with the quarterback change, obviously they were unhappy. And they didn't even wait. They started the kid, Conklin. And they gave him all the reps. I wondered in the second half, would they put Warner in there? But I think Ents is the kind of guy, when he makes the decision, he kind of goes with it. And he's a committed guy. And when he decides that's what he's going to do, that's what he's going to do. And I would not be shocked that Warner doesn't play this week.
Well, if they honestly believe that the scenario that Ruben put forward in the email exists, if they really believe that, then I guess you would go back to Warner if you thought it could give you a chance to maybe, backdoor your way into a title game. If Anything short of that, though, and no knock against EJ, but he did have a lot of reps and a lot of chances. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable because he is not a guy who's going to be here next year. So since you coached, would you ever go back to Warner in this situation, no matter what happened this year, knowing that you got to vet Conklin to know whether he's a guy that can fit your system by the time you get to the spring? I mean, what are you going to do when you have got a finite resource in front of you, Brian, which is the last four games you're going to play before, you know, postseason?
First of all, you know what Warner can do. We know what he can do. We've seen it. Conklin, here's the problem. They let him play two games only. San Diego State and Boise State, the two best teams in the conference. Probably not a true reading on his ability. So, and to get to the next game, he's probably going to have to play in that game too. So he can play against the Hawaiis and Nevadas of the world and see how he does.
But
when they bring in Utah State and San Jose, he goes and plays San Jose and Utah State and Wyoming, and we'll find out. Lower level of competition.
Also, the Bulldogs do have another bye week coming up after this game. We had mentioned that this was a two-game sandwich that would probably determine their fate, and they would have a bye in front of it, which they did before San Diego State, and now they'll have a bye after the Boise State game before that final three that will either be just trying to get to bowl eligibility with one more win or legitimately trying to stay in the hunt. That having been said, the Bulldog running game has got to show up, and I don't think it's the fault of Speedy Luke or Donaldson or Ramirez. The offensive line evidently is not suited to drive block right now, so you and I both know what Boise State is going to do. Can the Bulldogs find a way to force Boise State out of loading the box, or is this just the way it's going to be every time the Bulldogs line it up? Never mind San Diego State and their base defense. Everybody else is saying, we'll just load the box and beat them, beat Fresno State. How do you keep Boise State from doing that?
You got to run the ball. You got to be able to make the quarterback scramble. Got to have more quarterback runs. You got to stretch them out more on defense. Boise's defense is good, Tony. They have good players. I'm not sure they're as good as San Diego State's defense, but
they're not close to as good. No.
They're second in the league, probably, though.
I think third. I think their defense rating is third in the league. But I've seen teams move on
the numbers.
Right. Well, I saw UNLV.
UNLV moved on them.
Yeah, they were still in the game for a while. Just couldn't stop Boise State from scoring. That was the problem in that game. That was in the Smurf turf. And, you know, I mean, it was close for about third quarter.
Has Sherrod been playing a lot for Boise?
Well, Sherrod is part of that three-headed monster in the backfield. In my opinion, he's the third-best running back of that set of three. But he has been productive for him in spurts. There's no doubt about it. But, again, we saw this with Sherrod here. If he's got gaps, sure. But he's not a guy that you can say, go out there and win a football game for us because he's too easy to get to the ground. That's all there is to it. And I look at the Bulldogs' three running backs, and all three of them, in my opinion, are vastly superior to Sherrod. But Sherrod is getting more of a chance to run at Boise right now because Madsen does have wide receivers. Now, Marshall is out, and that hurts Boise State. That's for disciplinary reasons. But they still have three other viable wide receivers. They have, like I said, the three-headed group in the backfield. It's a balanced offense, and that's something the Bulldogs, Brian, cannot say about their own offense right now, not even close.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Bulldogs are struggling right now, Tony. I mean, they had a rough game, Colorado State. They got some time off. They had a rough game, San Diego State. They were going to Boise, where the Bulldogs historically have won, let's see, Tedford won twice there.
They've won four the last
one there.
Yeah, well, the last eight meetings have been split between the teams, but the majority of the games were on the Smurf turf, and the Bulldogs obviously have won a couple of titles on there on that turf in 18 and 22. So it has not been the whole relationship with Boise State, as you're well aware. It all goes back to the angst of 2001 and the Bulldogs being eight in the nation.
I know.
We've gone through this a billion times. But it's
been
competitive lately.
No, I know, but it's changed a little. Well, First of all, Pat had a rough struggle. He was 1-9 with Boise. But Jeff was – DeRue got a few wins against Boise. But Pat Jeff had wins against Boise.
Well, Jeff dominated Boise in this regard, and that is you go to their place with everything on the line, never mind regular season games, you go to the Smurf Turf and you win two titles in 18, and particularly the one in 22 that was really convincing. The 18 one, of course, was the snow game and, you know, break the curse and all of that stuff. But, it, you know, the Bulldogs went up there in 22 and just flat kicked their ass to win. They dominated four quarters. Everybody in the stands was sitting on their hands. So it hasn't been an issue where Boise State is this monolithic presence in the mind of Fresno State players or coaches or even fans anymore, Brian. The problem is this year and this year alone, you're going there where you know Boise State is going to score. You got to keep them down, but you can move on that defense. So are we back to sixes instead of threes? I mean, you and I have talked about this a billion times. Football comes down to two things, sixes or threes in the drives when you're in the red zone, and third down conversions. If you can convert on third down, you can win. If you don't, you give up possessions. So can the Bulldogs get in the red zone and actually cash in, or do they have to settle for threes and Boise State picks up enough sixes to beat them? Is that just the bottom line?
Yeah. I mean, I think he pretty much boiled it down to the essence.
So, if it gets away and you lose, any hope you had of a conference title is out. You have one carrot on the stick, other than the obvious. You want to finish strong, and if you're Matt in your first year, you want to build momentum. But, yeah, you got to have one more win, which I would assume with the two home games with Wyoming and Utah State and the finale at San Jose State, you'd pick up the win. But does it change structurally who you play in this day and age of NIL? And I asked you this a few weeks ago, and you brought it up at the start of this conversation, Brian. The frustration of the running backs, the personal frustration, is it going to lead to a Speedy Luke saying, you know, I got one more year to go, I'm going somewhere else since you don't have to sit? A Donaldson who says, I have a career in front of me, I want more usage? I mean, those guys in particular, and Ramirez, I think, is someone who would stay the course here, but those two, do you worry about them leaving the program if things don't go well for them to finish this year?
I've seen Donaldson a few times look pretty frustrated. I saw him at the last game frustrated. I talked to Speedy after the game. I talked to Speedy before the game. Speedy still has a good attitude. You know, I know it's tough, but he's a very positive individual. And I think Donaldson's having a struggle this year. You know, he had a good year last year. He's a good back, but he just hasn't had the opportunities where the holes open up to show what he can do. So he could be one that is frustrated with the offensive line, and people are going to want him. People are going to want Speedy because they're legit running backs. There's going to be suitors coming for him, and the question will be, what do they think it's going to be for them? As you know, as it comes down to the players, is what's the best thing for them and their family and their career. And if somebody's going to pay you $500,000, $1 million to go somewhere else, they're probably going to look at it.
And that's the difference in college football now, even from the time of transfer portal starting. The first thing we said about transfer portal, and first of all, when it kicked in gear not that long ago, but it seems like the ice age now when it started, was the fact that you still had only one exemption. Now you can move every year without penalty. But we were always talking, Brian, in regard to playing time. You know, I had the Warriors and the Bucks last night, and the Warriors got lit up by Ryan Rollins, who was a first-round draft choice of, you guessed it, the Warriors. But they couldn't keep him on the roster, and he couldn't, to your point about Donaldson, get playing time with the Warriors. He goes to the Bucks. Lillard was there. Lillard is gone, and all of a sudden Rollins is lighting everybody up, and people are going, how could you let the guy go? Because you couldn't find a way to give him playing time. I'm fearful that that's the kind of thing with Donaldson right now, which is he's going to go somewhere where he's the feature back, and then everybody is going to say, well, why in the world do we let a Valley kid get away? It had to do with the fact that he's just not getting the reps. But what do you do?
Well, not only that, it's just that even the reps he's getting, he's not having any daylight to run to.
Well, and of course, how many great running backs will tell you that it's the fourth quarter where the defense wears down and they are still strong? We've seen it over and over again. Here, you're touching the ball five or six times instead of the 20 times you want, and I'm frustrated by the offense, Brian, for one reason. To me, I understand if people are going to load the box. We know there are no secrets since the Kansas game. We get it. We understand that. But I have seen those swing passes off the edge to both Donaldson and to Luke be very effective. Even Ramirez got one. Get them outside the box. Get them one-on-one with a corner or a safety, and they appear to me to be effective to go for 7 or 8 yards, and then they break one for 20 or 30. I just don't think our offense takes advantage of that, nor the tight ends, which would offset two things. One, loading the box, and two, the fact our wide receivers have not been terribly productive. I don't think offensively we have seen the best play calling for the talent you have out there right now. Am I wrong about this?
Well, I mean, you got a new coordinator who's trying to adjust, but also it's the quarterback. If Jay Kaner was playing in that game, do you think the Bulldogs would have been much closer? I think they would have been.
Well, and Jay Kaner was a better and more polished quarterback.
But Tedford's success against Boise was Marcus McMarion and Jay Kaner compared to E.J. Warner and Conklin. I mean, there right there is a huge reason why the Bulldogs are not successful, because the quarterback play has not been up to where it should be for them to win.
And
the
story. That's fair.
Right?
Keep in mind, DeRuiter ran a spread, but he ran a spread with Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Isaiah Burst. These are NFL-caliber guys. So, you know, again, the same argument.
Marcel Jensen and Harper.
Yeah, so you had talent. So, you know, again, it's that situation of his and urine. You do have to have talent
out
there.
You look at every year the Bulldogs beat the Boise State Broncos. They have a quarterback.
Well, hey, let's go back to the Freedom Bowl.
Now, they had David Carr, and he didn't beat him. He beat David Carr on a Friday night when they're in the top 10. So,
well, and that was the game that sent Boise State to the stratosphere.
That's the one that made Boise State that game.
Yeah, and also set Fresno State back big time because they went to Hawaii the next week and had their heads still in the Boise State game. That was one of those things you coaches talk about all the time, which is don't turn one loss into two. But also, you talk talent.
It's like the USC going to Reno the next week.
Exactly. Well, look. Let's go back to the Freedom Bowl, and a lot was made of it. The reason Fresno State smoked USC is because Fresno State had better players in many positions. When you look at the offense that Fresno State had in that game, okay, there's a reason they tell why USC wasn't fully engaged.
You got Ronnie River. You got
Lorenzo Neal.
What's the other running back that scored all the touchdowns? It was really good.
What you had is you had the narrative that if USC
Anthony Daigle.
Yes, that's right. The same thing happened in 2005. That was a great USC team. But when you look at the talent that Pat brought into the Coliseum, there was a reason that, because I had talked to Pete Carroll. I knew Pete when he was the DC with the 49ers. I talked to Pete Carroll off the air before that game in 2005, and he said, Tony, it is not rhetoric. I am legitimately worried about this. The only reason I took this game on was because Pat has been banging the drum forever, and because of Washington State's reschedule, USC was going to be without football for 3 weeks. And he said, we're taking this game, and I'm really worried for one reason. There are a bunch of L.A. kids on this Fresno State team that are really good and really pissed off because they weren't recruited by USC, and that worries me. And it damn near bit him right in the butt by the time it was done, because this isn't just guys that were motivated. Those were really good players that Fresno State had on their team, Brian. And I wonder now if it is more about the personnel than anything else. If that's the case, last question for you, Paizan, is it fixable without major NIL money, which is a question I never would have asked you 5 years ago.
I think without the major NIL money, you're not going to have the horses to compete. And I'm convinced of that more and more. And San Diego State is a perfect example of that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, also, you know, you remember that USC game, and not to, to criticize anyone, but I believe the quarterback had 5 interceptions.
Well, yeah, you had
the Bulldogs. So, again, the quarterback play in the big game wasn't there. 2 were in the end zone, right, Tony?
Yeah, well, yes, including the, well, you're talking about Pinniger, and you're talking about throws that, yes.
Bing, Long Beach Poly, that safety. He had 2 picks, I think, in the end zone.
Yeah, critical picks, and ones that kept the Bulldogs from scoring. That's what we were talking about the other day. Except if you're 3rd and 18 at midfield and you throw one up for grabs at the 5-yard line, that's a turnover that's as good as a punt. When you're in your red zone and you're throwing INTs in the end zone, that is a whole different story. But
you're going
about
down the field running the ball on them.
Well, when Mathis scored, I've said this before, when Wendell Mathis scored with 9:34 to go in that game, and number one USC
was 42-41.
Bulldogs were up at that point. USC had won 34 straight games at home, and I said they took a shot of Pete Carroll on the sidelines. I said it looked like he had had bad sushi and it had just kicked in because his hands were on his knees and his head was straight down, and I thought about that conversation where he said, I did not want to play this game. Now, as it turned out, USC had to vacate everything. When they lost to Vince Young, they would have had to vacate because of Reggie Bush. But at that moment, almost everything that they had played for was going out the window, and if the Bulldogs wouldn't have made mistakes, they probably would have won. One last thing, Brian, you brought up about San Diego. We talk a lot about how L.A. kids, which is really the core of how you win out here, L.A. kids, no knock against the NorCal kids, but Vince West and you to talk about it, there's no Cal like SoCal when it comes to recruiting here.
No.
The bottom line was, we would talk about kids that wanted to come here so they could be close to home but just far enough away for autonomy. It's even more applicable in San Diego, isn't it, Brian, for the L.A. kids? You can be 2 hours from home, close enough that you can drive home and have mom do your wash, and then you go back and fool around in San Diego without your parents getting mad at you. It's a great advantage for San Diego, isn't it, to pull the L.A. kids in, right?
That, they got the new stadium. They got the nice campus. They got all those girls and the weather. It's got a lot of great, you know, it's historically, San Diego State's had some good programs. I think they've underperformed.
There's no historically. Doubt lately. Well,
they
when
have,
we were
but
kids,
I
they
like
were
the
great.
Coach. I think the coach they got now is a good coach. I mean, I was very impressed with their personnel, the corners, the defensive linemen, I mean, the running back. And the one guy that, you know, does it all for them. They have good personnel, San Diego State.
But you still have to hate them, right? Because they are so incredibly arrogant.
Oh, my God. They're so arrogant. They get every break from the CSU. And oh, Tony, I mean, we have no – I mean, I hate them more than San Jose. I really do.
Didn't you go to law school in San Diego? Not at San Diego State. Did you go to law school down at San Diego?
No, I didn't even go. I wouldn't go there. I went on a recruiting trip to San Diego State, and, you know, it was nice, but it wasn't really for me. I like the Fresno. I like the people in Fresno better. They're more real. You know, San Diego, you get some of that L.A. phoniness. The people in Fresno are real. They really support their team. San Diego State does not get the support that the Bulldogs did, maybe with Marshall Faulk they did, or in basketball, but their football program is not supported like it should be. Fresno supports their program. No chance.
I also think it's the reason, Brian, to let you go, I also believe it's the reason that Matt Entz wants to stay here. I think that he has found the Midwest with better weather right from here. I think that's what...
No, I think Matt is a winner, and he's going to do everything he takes to win, and he's going to win. I'm convinced he's going to build a good program, and he's going to win, and he's going to be there for a little while. And I think he likes it. He's a hard worker. He has a good staff. And it's his first year in the program.
Well, again, it's 80 degrees here as we roll into November. It is not 80 degrees in most of the Midwest this time of the year. So that, and, of course, for you guys, it was 90 the other day. And, boy, it sure worked out well for the Dodgers, 90 degrees and a big tank job. So, all right.
Yeah.
I am not burying your Dodgers because with Yamamoto
I'm not burying him yet. can win Yamamoto here, game seven, anything can happen. But again, I go back to the four times the team swept and the other team went second.
I know.
Every time. And you see some great performances by these Toronto players. I mean, a kid comes in, strikes out 12, the rookie last the other night. I mean, come on. Hell of a job. You got to give him credit.
And Springer is going to be able to play, and we know this. You have to avoid Vlad at all costs. You and I saw his dad.
I mean, he's almost at the Ohtani level. He's almost like Ohtani. Now they're pitching to Ohtani. I thought they'd just walk him the rest of the time, but they're still pitching him.
Well, it depends upon the circumstance. We'll see what happens. We have the game tonight on 790, and the game seven, if it does take place tomorrow night, would be on the
All right, well, I'm going to be keeping up with that from the Bosco field.
That's what I'm saying. Good luck. Good luck to your Braves tonight. And
we need it. We need it. One of my teams needs to win here, Tony.
Well, we're sliding
for the Bulldogs last few weeks.
How about the trifecta? How about your Dodgers win tonight, your Bosco Braves win tonight, and the Bulldogs win tomorrow afternoon? That work for you?
Yeah, so that's music to my ears.
The
Dodgers win tomorrow, and they win, and then and we're champs again. So what the heck?
And then your Rams can get their butts kicked, which they won't, but on Sunday.
Mookie's got a hit, man. I mean, come on, Mookie's not even in.
Yeah, well, to say your guys need to earn their salaries is the understatement of what you're getting paid. All right, Brian. Listen, I'll let you go. Good luck over the weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
God bless. Go Dogs.
All right. I'll see you, Brian. Take care. All right, guys. Brian Panis. You want to take a break? I'll come back, tell you about the schedule coming up for both 1430 and 790, and then Phil will be on board for 2 hours before he heads off to La Monica for a game that I called many, many times, Clovis and Clovis West. And in the old days, before you had Buchanan Stadium, Memorial Stadium now, and Clovis West and Clovis had to share La Monica, you would have alternating years of the home team being on the press box side. And pregame festivities, you would have bands that they would bring. I'm not talking about marching bands. I mean, you know, 3- and 4-person bands. And they would play the most heinous songs about the other side you could ever imagine. Clovis West had a 4-person group come out to sing their version of Dire Straits' Money for Nothing back in the 80s. And it was, I can't even bring it up. There is a part of that song that is very derogatory. And they took the part of the song and inserted Clovis High in it. And let's just say administrators at both schools were running at abject terror about it. They don't do that anymore, but it was a lot of fun and completely politically incorrect every single year. That's coming up tonight. All right, we'll take a break, tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:48, about 6-7 minutes ago on the show. Again, thanks to Brian Panis for his time. Phil is coming up. I want to tell you all about the schedules for everything coming up, and I do want to thank the sponsors for being so kind to allow me on Friday to move things around for Brian because he does have to alter his schedule some. Sometimes he's actually in court and jumps to a lunch hour that he asked the judge for so he can talk about his beloved Bulldogs, and you could see his hear his frustration about how things are going, and hopefully it's going to be better tomorrow afternoon. Again, 12:30 FS1. For Fresno State and Boise State, and no matter what happens, we'll, of course, be back to talk about it on Monday. Right now, I want to talk about the upcoming schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, particularly for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Ed, a proud graduate. A lot of the people that go through the Lyles College of Engineering end up working for Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the schedule goes right now, for us tonight, 4 o'clock on 790, the pregame, 5:08, the first pitch, Game 6 of the World Series from Toronto, of course, on Big Fox television-wise. It'll be Yamamoto, who has been brilliant in the postseason for the Dodgers, and former Giant Kevin Gausman, the itinerant Kevin Gausman, who has been all over everywhere. He was actually the starting pitcher for the Giants For the last great Giant team, the team in 2021 that won 107 games, he was opening day pitcher for that team, and he's since been a lot of other places. If he wins tonight, the Jays pick up a World Series title. By the way, Joaquin, your trick question, he said, since Joaquin's question out there, ladies and gentlemen, was, since we broke into divisions in 1969, how many teams can lay claim to being three-peat champions in Major League Baseball? Here's why it's a trick question. If you answer two, that would be the A's of 72, 73, and 74, and the Yankees of 98, 99, and 2000, you would be right, except when Toronto went back-to-back in 92 and 93 and 94, we didn't have a World Series because the strike, so technically Toronto actually held the title for 3 years as well. So if you answer three, Joaquin tells you you're wrong, it's only two. If you answer two, he said you're wrong because we're counting Toronto for three. So, Joaquin, I'm just going to tell you bleep you for that question, and you can go ahead and win bar bets with it because I know exactly where you're headed. It's something I would have done myself if I were out there still bar hopping, which the last time that took place was probably 1977, okay? All right, that's what happens when you get married. All right, as far as the schedule then tonight, 4 o'clock, the pre 5:08 first pitch on 790. If there is a game 7 of the World Series, it'll be on 1430 tomorrow. On 1430 tonight, after Phil has 2 hours of his great show behind the bench, he'll head out to La Monica for Clovis and Clovis West, so stay tuned for that. He and Paul Meadors, 6:30 the pre. They'll kick it at 7 o'clock. By the way, speaking of Paul Meadors, he and Scott Bemis will have both the men's and women's games, Fresno Pacific and Fresno State, the Fresno Pacific broadcast on Monday coming up, 4:45, get started with the women. The men will follow that particular game, so stay tuned for that. And Paul also has two fine shows with us, and that would be Central Valley Sports Report Saturday mornings at First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430, and then 790, our sister station, The Deuce. Paul is there 6 to 7 on Wednesdays in the evening for Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific athletics. I mentioned Phil's great show behind the bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Again, El Paso across from River Park. Stop on in and see Phil. Check out the great furniture, some good eats as well. You can also give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything with Station 1430, ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links there, podcasts. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Remind you, we started another NFL week last night with the Ravens, who are going to be very good now with Jackson back. We will have the Rams, Raiders, and 49er games over the weekends. Of course, over this weekend coming up, 49ers against the Giants. I think the Rams have New Orleans and the Raiders have Jacksonville. We've got the Sunday night game, and Mondays we have Major Wager Mondays. Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park, always a great time. The great food of me and Ed's, the terrific atmosphere. Stop by and see Carter and everybody there, Major Wager Mondays. Now, the other reminders here come courtesy of our other great sponsors, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Again, 4529 North Marley Avenue in town, Suite 103. Joe is there. Gabe is there. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, all there under one roof. If you're working anywhere from an industrial standpoint, around a valve, a tanker delivery service, if you're somebody who's working at a chemical plant, you're a maintenance person, anywhere where a valve is front and center, if it goes down, your business can go down with it in a big hurry. The great aspect of Joe's business, not only Superior Components, but same-day estimates, same-day service, family-friendly business. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Joe will tell you everything he can do for your business. Then we'll tell you what he has done as a booster for over three decades at Fresno State, celebrating the 25th anniversary of this specific business right now, by the way. And Joe will tell you right now the best way to go about it as far as giving to Fresno State is to head to the website, the main one, at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. The major giving societies, Green V Society and Myers Champion Circle, there as well. Under ways to give, you have the sports clubs and the Valley Co-op, and you also have information for tickets and parking and other things on campus under the link that says more. And one more time, the sports clubs enable you to bring your money directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with us on Wednesdays to talk basketball. On the board of directors there, would love to see more members. He said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, furtickjack@aol.com. Also, you have an opportunity for the dugout club there for baseball and other men's and women's sports under that sports club link. And always keep in mind the critically important, and I do mean important, as Brian and I were talking about it, NIL monies. The only way you're going to survive in this day and age is to step up with NIL. And I know it's not always easy for people to do this, but you really don't have a choice right now, because if you don't step up with NIL monies, you're going to find yourself being passed by everybody, never mind across the country. I always talk about this, you know, in the country, we've got LSU spending $54 million to get rid of a coach and all that kind of stuff. But close to home, San Diego State generating money, Utah State, Colorado State, they're getting help from their individual states the way that here, with so many mouths to feed, you're not going to be able to have that happen if you're Fresno State. As much as you would love to think that you're going to get help, it's just not realistic. So anything you can do, NIL, make sure you contact people at Fresno State. Any donation, any sponsorship idea. Finally, as we thank Joe Cruz for that information, I want to mention that our great friends at KFC have a special deal going on right now, and that is a throwback to the 90s, the honey barbecue flavor on everything, on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love, the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. On sale right now, the chicken sandwich is $3.99 at the moment. Terrific opportunity, limited time, everything with the original honey barbecue sauce, which is sweet, savory, and back, at least for the month of October. Stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and tell them thanks for helping out throughout the Valley with their sponsorship of athletics, because it is really important from the high school level on up. So we thank everybody at those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And keep in mind, on Wednesdays, they still have the deal that is the $5.99 country fried steak meal. And Tuesdays, a long-running $10 8-piece bucket or tenders offer is still there for you at those KFCs. And then the final note comes courtesy of our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. 825-5337, 825-Lees or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how you can reach Phil and how we bring our guests up. Mark that down, 559-320-1430. Lee's allows me the time every day to tell you about the weather. And one more time, another glorious 7 days in front of us. 78 today, 80 tomorrow, 81 on Sunday. Keep in mind, of course, have a safe Halloween. But tomorrow, as we start November, when we get to 2 a.m. on Sunday, time to move the clocks back an hour, so we have that coming up. 79 on Monday, 79 on Tuesday, and then we have a chance of rain late in the day on Wednesday. It was supposed to be primarily north, but now they're saying we might see up to four-tenths of an inch of rain on the valley floor in the metro area on Wednesday into early Thursday, where it'll be 72. So it is a really nice 7 day, and maybe we will get some rain before it's all said and done. Anyway, thanks to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to the folks at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and Ed Dunkel at Precision Civil Engineering for allowing me to move things around for today. Phil is coming up. Then it will be the World Series on 790 at 4 o'clock, and Phil and Paul out at La Monica tonight, 6:30, 7 o'clock, the great matchup between Clovis and Clovis West, one of the best rivalries this valley has ever seen. We'll watch Fresno State with you tomorrow. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. Thanks to Brian Panish. Thanks, of course, to Jorge. Jorge, I hope you're feeling better. He's playing hurt, ladies and gentlemen, and I really appreciate it. We will see you guys. Have a great Halloween and a great weekend. See you on Monday on KFIG Fresno.